Welcome to Life Church. I'm so glad that you joined with us. We really pray that this message today will make a difference in your world.
And so as I open up what I'm going to bring tonight, I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 10. This is the classic. This is what was already referred to, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is such a thing that we don't even really understand if you're coming from a generation like me, a first-generation Christian. I thought Palm Sunday was putting your hands up and high-fiving somebody, because I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have any understanding of what Palm Sunday is. And of course, you're more spiritual than I am. But I've learned that the Bible is our explanation for these things. And so if we don't understand something, we go back to the Bible. And look in Matthew chapter 21, verse 10. And this is what I wanted to focus on. It says, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. Come on, the whole city. And asked, who is this? Do you know it's possible to stir a city? But it's impossible to stir a city if you can't stir the person next to you. If you can't stir up your neighbor or your passerby, forget about stirring up a whole city. You know, I don't know about you, but are you stirred up? Are you passionate about the things of God, or are you passionless? Are you stirred up? Because when we're talking about stirring up a city, it's no good talking about stirring up a city if we can't wake up the 5 o'clock service. And I know what this is like. I know that we go through the routine of life and we get busy and we just pull down with all the things that take our attention and distract us. And so here's Jesus. He's entering into a time space right now in this next week where we have an opportunity to invite people. 82% of people would come to our Easter services, Good Friday, Sunday, if only they're invited. 82%. The problem is this, that only 2% of the church-going population actually invite someone to church. What is that? We've got to have a revelation that if we don't invite people, if we don't tell people about Jesus, they will go to hell. What I'm sure of is 100% of people will go to hell unless somebody tells them about Jesus and then invites them to come along to church. And so here's Jesus stirring up a whole city. When we understand who Jesus is, we can stir up our city too. I really believe this week, if we understand this, we can stir up the entire region, Halifax, Huddersfield, Leeds, Bradford. We can stir that up when we understand who Jesus is. We can stir up colleges and universities. You can stir up your business place by understanding who Jesus is. And so I introduced this concept last week, and there's four principles to this concept. The first principle was observation. I opened that up last week. If you missed that, you can listen by iTunes. And the second one was just simply this, conversation. And now I want to talk about invitation. Invitation is when things start to get exciting. And the fourth principle is revelation. Every invitation we have should lead someone to understand Matthew 21. Who is Jesus? That's what we're inviting people to understand. Not just come to a service, but understand who Jesus is. And I think that's one of the most exciting things that we could ever be a part of. And so let's talk about good news. Let's talk about how many people invite. You know, we're in a world where we get all these invitations by email and Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. We're invited to parties and restaurants and tripaways and football matches and rock concerts. We're inundated with these things. And the reason why people respond to an invitation is because of the source. Have you ever been invited to something by someone you think, oh, I don't want to go there? If you're enjoying that, I'm not going to go there. I had a funny encounter the other day because I love classical music. Love classical music. And I just think it's amazing. And I'm on an evangelistic mission to get people to enjoy classical music. Jock has never been to a classical music concert. I know. I don't know what that says about me, but I've known Jock for 42 years. And he's still never been to a music concert. Now, on the other hand, Rich Martin, legend that he is, took his wife on a romantic date to an orchestral experience. And Rich said it was marvelous. And he heard the music, I remember Firebird Suite by Stravinsky. Isn't that amazing? Of course, Rich being, you know, so into music, he actually fell asleep. This is a true story, I tell no lies. He actually fell asleep in the music. And if you know the Stravinsky part, there's a part in the music, a really awesome part, when all of a sudden the music's really quiet, and then there's just this huge. That was the moment when Rich Martin woke up. Yes, it was. He's like, oh, what's going on? And the Rich is, you know, I'm like, Rich, go. She'll love it. She'll love it. She'll love the music concert. So we understand he went and he enjoyed it. And now he said he's going to take her again. What is that? That's the power of invitation in action. Have you ever invited someone to something? You have invited them time and time again. And then you reason, you know, that sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't show up. Well, this is our invitation week. If we want to stir up a city, we've got to really understand this principle. So turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Because this principle is just so awesome. This is what Jesus did when he sat down and he saw a woman, not just a woman, but a Samaritan woman. Not just a Samaritan woman, but a woman who had five husbands, and she's there at noon to draw water from the well, and Jesus observed that she should have been there earlier. It's hot. You know, most people take water in the morning, and she was there with her water jug, and he observed her. Then he started a conversation, and then he has this discussion with her in John chapter 4, verse 13. He said, "Woman, whoever drinks this water," because he was sitting next to a well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I will give them, they will never thirst." We live in a thirsty world. We live in a world where people are looking for fulfillment in all of these different locations. They look for fulfillment through a career. They look for fulfillment through relationships. They look through all these different factors in society. People are trying different religious things. They're trying Buddhism, and they're trying Zen, and they're trying, you know, they're trying acupuncture, and they're trying all of these different techniques and things to try to get themselves to a place of greater spiritual fulfillment. And here's a woman who was trying all of these things. She didn't just arrive one day. She had five broken relationships. She'd looked for all kinds of help, and she never got it. And we live in a world today where people are lonely. Loneliness is one of the main keys affecting society today. Broken relationships. There's a huge void. And this woman is about to receive an invitation for eternal life. See, there's so much brokenness in the world today. And the greater level of brokenness, the greater level of appreciation when people understand the invitation that you're about to give them. And here's this woman, and what I love about this is you don't have to make this so complex. It could be really simple. I believe that when we finish the service tonight, we're going to pray that God makes it easy for us to observe people in our world that we can invite. And here's a woman who she was there. She just approached Jesus. And, you know, Jesus had to go there. I believe that God led him there. But I believe that the Holy Spirit leads us into situations that we're not aware of until we get there. Until we, after the invitation, then we have the revelation that we were set up by God for that conversation. And here's this woman. She starts to gradually understand the power of this invitation. And what I've realized is this, and this is the first aspect of invitation I wanted to bring tonight, that the quality of the invitation should inspire the quantity of how often you give it. So in other words, that because the quality is so incredible for eternal life, the quantity should be increasing all of the time. Now, sometimes when I start to talk to people about Jesus, it takes me one conversation, or maybe sometimes two or three conversations before I warm up. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you have a conversation and it just doesn't come off the way you thought it should or could. So what do? You stop and you go quiet. What I've determined is this. No, because of the quality of what eternal life is, it's worth overcoming my perceived rejection. Many people stop at what they perceive as rejection when actually you've had a great conversation with somebody and you've actually just sown a positive seed in someone's life. They just didn't get saved yet. But that doesn't mean the conversation didn't still have power and didn't still have. The other day, I've had a conversation with another lady I'm sharing with on a regular basis, and she didn't get saved. But no, every time I talk to her, she gets more receptive to Jesus, right? So what I'm saying is if I stop after the first ask or the second ask, then she's not going to be able to respond. And so, you know, sometimes people take many, 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 many. Everybody say many. Many times of hearing the gospel before they understand what it is. It took my dad over 30 years to understand who Jesus was because of his broken relationships and some other things in his life. And if I would have stopped, then he wouldn't have been able to be receptive to who Jesus is. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that we have a quantity, not just one or two asks, but this week. Not just this week, but for the rest of our lives, that we have a quantity of people that we talk to about Jesus. Now, we don't have to class ourselves as evangelists to do this, because the Bible says that we should all be active in sharing our faith. So this first principle is just, can we just simply decide that we're going to have an invitation explosion? Boom, an explosion. There we go. We light a fuse over here, light another fuse, light another fuse, light another fuse. And we just keep on having conversations. And if we keep on having conversations, guess what? It won't be long before you're just on a high. You're like riding a wave. And I told my wife, I feel like I'm on fire because I'm just sharing with people. And I'm not going into an environment and sharing and offending people. I'm not doing that. I'm watching. I'm listening. I'm observing. And then have a conversation, right? Now, these things will help you as you move forward. So I'm going to bring you the next principle because it builds on the last one. The next principle is this. Expand the range of your invitation to include everyone. Often our range is so small, we're focusing on the same person, the same one person for 20, 30, 40 years. And that's important for family members. It's important for some. It's very, very crucial that you stay focused. But not exclusively focused, not just on that one individual, because you're missing the opportunities all around you. And if you have a rejection on that one, it stops you from sharing with the many. So here's Jesus, here he is, and in verse 27, we see that the woman walks in, and he has a conversation. His range included Samaritans. His range wasn't just focused on the Jewish community, his range was expanded. And I like the Yorkshire version of this. If there was a Yorkshire Bible, it would say this. It would say, if you want to lead more people to Jesus, you need to get better at banter. Because you do. Yorkshire people, they like to banter. You got to have the ability to do some bantering. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, that's not even spiritual. It is so spiritual. When you're talking to the mechanic at the body shop and he starts bantering, you're going to have some banter back. Because the other day I was witnessing with somebody, and it wasn't in a car automotive shop, but he took me back in, and he had some pictures on the wall that were calendars that were not G-rated pictures of females. And I'm like, okay, now what do you expect sinners to be like? Sinners are going to have stuff that they're attracted to. That's what they're like. And if you're offended by that, then you've got to understand, you've got to get some banter going on. And so I started having some banter going on. So I'm bantering with this guy. Turns out this guy is looking for a relationship with a female. I'm like, well, it's no wonder, you fool, that your relational world isn't working out. And I speak to him like that, you fool, because you got all these dodgy pictures on the wall. I'm like, you ever thought about coming to church? You want to meet some great women? Come to church, somebody. We just got the most amazing women spiritually. I mean, they're just beautiful inside and out. You want some people that have some character, you got to meet some of our girls. Some of our girls meet guys like that, and you whip them into shape in Jesus' name. And I'm like, I'm having some banter with this guy. Why? Because he's bantering me, so I'm bantering him 10 times harder. when in the next day he'd actually taken the pictures down. He hasn't come to church yet, but I mean, it's like, that's part of the process that you've got to do. You got to get that bantry going. Now, I didn't go in there and say, like a friend of mine did once, the wages of sin is death. I actually had a friend of mine who did that. I'm like, you know, that's not going to win people to Jesus. That's just going to offend people. But you've got to understand how to have some banter. And I think humor is a great way to do this. I think humor is a great way. The other day I was doing some banter with somebody, and she said to me, this girl, she said to me, praise the Lord, I'll come to Jesus one day. And she's bantering me, taking advantage of me and making fun of me and saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Here comes Steve, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said to her, listen, girl, hallelujah, you're going to come to church and meet Jesus someday. And we start bantering back and forth again. And the other people that are the employees, because this isn't in a workspace and it's not in a church environment, they're laughing and they're having a little joke. I'm not offended by them. I'm not offended in the least bit, because I know when they go to bed at night and they lay their heads on the pillow, guess what conversation they're going to remember? They're going to remember the conversation that I just had with them. And one day, they're going to be in this church. They're going to be saved. They're going to be in Growth Track. Why? Because they're my friends, and I'm not going to give up on my friends. So get better at banter. Turn to the person next to you and slap them and say, you need to get better at banter. You need to get better at banter. Bantering should be the way that we go in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, verse 23 says this. Even though I am free of the demands and expectations, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people. Therefore, I have got tattoos. Therefore, I have got dogs so I can go dog walking. Therefore, I have bought motorcycles so I can go up and be motorcycle riding. Therefore, I have joined football teams so I can play football with other people. Therefore, I have become a musician so I can play with bands. Therefore, I have started baking because people love food, and so they're going to get involved in my world. Therefore, I cut grass so people around my neighborhood, they experience that. Therefore, I'm washing cars this next week because everybody likes a nice car when the sun comes out once a year in England. Therefore, I'm going to be all things to all people. It's what the apostle sort of said. That's what that says. I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. How can you enter someone else's world? There's a million and one things you can do to initiate. Initiation is the key. I was so glad one of our life group leaders initiated an Easter egg hunt. I thought that was amazing, brilliant. And people say, yeah, but an Easter egg has nothing to do with Jesus's resurrection. I know that. I get it. I'm not into the Easter egg hunt thing. What I'm into is using what people relate to understand who Jesus is. And so I thought it was awesome and amazing that almost 200 people came out for this little thing, because it tells us that somebody's taking initiative, right? An initiation, the initiative, that's what we're after. We're just not after you turning up at one of our events. We're after you discovering the power of invitation and using it. The other day I said to my wife, Charlotte, this is great. All our neighbors are going to come over, and we're going to have a cheese and wine party. Brilliant. And I'm inviting. I'm not even asked permission anymore. She just looks at me like, oh my gosh, you have no idea, Steve, how busy I am. But she always says, yes, I married a saint. You've got to give each other permission for this, because God is going to use you, and it could be in the middle of a banter. It could be in the middle of an invitation. And you've got to be able to just be flexible to be able to do this and make this happen in your life. Is this helping somebody? Luke chapter 15, I could have stayed there on the whole power of invitation, but it's just too much Bible for one message. But write it down, Luke chapter 15, and read it and study it if you're taking notes. And if you're not taking notes, please start taking notes. Get a cell phone. If you don't have a Bible, steal the person's next to you. What are they going to do? They're a Christian, right? But I think we've got to get a lot more engaged about this. Why? Because in our environment, in our culture, people have been taught to be passive. Christianity has nothing to do with passivity. It has nothing to do with watching a few people on a platform. Jesus didn't die for a few people on a platform. He died for the world. And so we've got to engage the world with what we do. Okay, I'm moving on. The next principle is this. The quality of our invitation should be compelling. Compelling is something that we've lost in our 21st century. I'm on a mission to restore this. What does compel mean? It means to hold the attention of a person, to be persuasive, to be gripping and captivating, to be enthralling and absorbing and exciting. And you might think, well, I don't know how to do that, but I've learned this. God isn't looking for people who talk great. God is looking for people who talk about the great things that He has done for them. And that's the difference. We can all talk about the great things that God has done for us. Oh my gosh, when you start thinking about the great things, I married the most gorgeous girl on the planet. That's what God did for me. And you might think, really? Yeah, I believe that. Richie, how in the world did you ever get with Stacy? You married up, bro. I mean, that's one thing there. You should be talking about that. John and Fiona Beale, watching your journey and what you've done and your ballet and now in your business. And I mean, it's amazing what God has done for each one of us. What are the great things He has already done? Often we miss that. We're focused on what He's not yet done. He hasn't yet done things in my life. Well, then we're missing the point. Because our compelling invitation shouldn't talk about what God has not done. We should be talking about what He's already done. And when we focus on that, guess what? Then we become aware of the good things. Because I mentioned Luke 15. What God did, He shared this amazing story. And Jesus, He said this. He said, the house must be full. So invite all your friends. The disciples say, yeah, tick, I did that. All my friends are invited. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, I invited everybody. But Jesus said, there's still room. Go invite all the poor and the needy and those who are far from God. The disciples said, yep, I did that too. I checked, tick that box. So Jesus said, okay, then go out and compel the people to come in. And He used that word, compel. What does that mean? That means you persuade people. People persuade us to do all kinds of things. They persuade us to buy things that we don't want. They persuade us to go to places that we don't want to go to. People persuade us to take on more debt than we need, to buy a car that we don't need. The power of persuasion happens all the time. So I want to get a compelling invitation. I want that to be in my nature, in my DNA. So just the other day, on Thursday, I was walking my dog, Jake, telling you stories about people I'm reaching because I want to model that to you, church. I just don't want to go back 3 years ago. No, just a few days ago. I'm walking out there with Jake, and I meet this gentleman who also has a dog, and we're talking, and we start, and you know, sharing stories. Where are you from? And I'm from good old, you know, sunny Bradford, VIA America. And he's like, wow, amazing. I'm from Bradford, VIA Iran. And we start to talk and have a conversation, and we're, you know, what do you do? And what do you do? That kind of thing. And I just know conversations are going to lead to invitation. Yeah. So I'm like, I start talking to him. Turns out this guy owns 3 McDonald's franchises here in the part of the world. Not only that, and then he's promising me things now. He said, Steve, he goes, the local McDonald's will pass out your flyers for you for your Easter church events. Just get your butt down to the, speaks like that to me. Just get your butt down to the local McDonald's. Go with some banter going on. And he said, and if they don't do it, tell them my name and I'll sort them all out. And I'm like, come on, somebody. Never even thought about the McDonald's right down the road. And I'm like, so God wants to help us. He really wants to help us. And so I'm starting to talk to him about the young people and people we're reaching in the church. And I just talk about how amazing God is. I talk about cancers that have been healed, marriages restored, young people coming to know Christ. And he's like, I got to come to this. And we're in this so often that we forget its power. We're here so much that we don't understand what we already have experienced is Yorkshire's best kept secret. So we've got to start to gossip how great it is. So I'm like, this is what I expect. So I expect to have conversations. I do. I expect, I wake up praying, and then I do, I have them. And they're awesome. And I've got to close this message somehow. And so I've got to finish. But I'm like, you've got to start to get on this adventure with me, church. Being a Christian is the most exciting, incredible adventure. It's not boring. It's awesome. I never know what God's going to do next. I'm just like, God, I just have a conversation and great things are happening. And so this is what I want my daily focus to be. And I've got it here. I want to read it to you so I say this right. That we will do this. We will do whatever it takes, wherever, whenever, using all means possible. Except sin. Did you hear that, Richie? Okay, just making sure. To help people find new life in Jesus. If you can appreciate that, come on, say amen, somebody. Because I think that's worth giving a round of applause for. Because that's very clear. Whatever it takes, wherever, whenever. That means the red light district is not safe. Because the Christians are going there. That means the poor in our city. The poor in our city are not going to hell because we're going to help them understand who Jesus is. That means the drug dealers that are trying to possess this land, they're going to be dispossessed by a church that understands this. But it also has implications for your friendships and your networks and your world. Whatever it takes, this is our focus. And this was Jesus's focus. And here's what happened to this woman after he had the conversation with just one woman. It says this in verse 39. Many of the Samaritans, John chapter 4, verse 39. Many of the Samaritans, say many. Many from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Just one woman and an entire region was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. What about this region? What about believing God? That God would lead us to have conversations and invitations to people, and they would have such a radical transformation that our entire city can be stirred. It only takes one politician. Come on. One politician to get saved. Only takes one key athlete. Only takes one key musician, one key business leader, and everything changes. So we've got to get strategic. God has put you around people that you are placed by divine design. And because you're placed in that sphere and in that world, because of what God has done in your life already, if you get bold and courageous this week, if you get that invitation explosion spirit, come on, join with me on this adventure. It's awesome. It's incredible.
Hey, thanks so much for spending this time together. And now we pray it makes a difference practically and in everything you face, every challenge, every difficulty, every circumstance. We really pray that you remember that God is for you.
Easter at Life Church will be a special time with the buildup of Love Your Neighbor Week, Good Friday service, and Easter Sunday celebration services packed with a creative gospel presentation and fun activities for the kids. Don't miss this great opportunity to invite friends, family, and neighbors.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about Life Church, check out our website, lifechurchhome.com, or download the app.